Well, on the first day here, I hadn't done any work, so I waited until my last day. Now, since I haven't made any planets recently, I thought I should.
Not for your last 7 days.
I thought I should try to make a code for those who do make planets, and I'm very fond of things called regularization, but that scares people off. So I thought the challenge was to make something really simple, and I take off on Chandrasekhar, Book for the Common Man. So it should also include the common woman, but I'm just.
There's no woman that was common.
So now the word regularization, as I say, is a scary one, and it conjures up by all sorts of complicated mathematics. But things can be made simple, and that's the aim of my presentation. And the bottom line is that I have a working code done in the last 2 weeks from scratch, which will achieve this objective. So the motivation is to make a simple simulation code aimed at planet resistance, where the sun is a dominant body and you have a number of things, interacting planetesimals. So most of these will be integrated in with a basic integration scheme using the excellent time-symmetric Hermite scheme that was mentioned a week ago by Chiro, and the paper is 98 here. India et al. Hides Jun Aquino, the maker of the world's fastest computer. He's one of the et al.'s. The close encounters, and by the way, I may be a hermit, but I'm dealing with a hermit with an E integration scheme. I think something happened in the between me and the organizers. So the close encounters is the bottom of regularization, and we have close encounters between planetesimals, so we need to improve the treatment of close encounter. Now there's a very nice scheme, a two-body regularization scheme, which is what I'm going to present, and it was actually invented by a guy called Bude in Switzerland, and published in some obscure German journal, and also by Douglas Heggie, my student, and published in 73. The BH method, not black hole method, Bode-Hegge method, is essentially very, very simple. It is based on one thing called time transformation, time prime equal to R, the two-body separation. And then we use a vector E, which is nothing but the Runge-Kutta-Laplace eccentricity vector that Eiichiro introduced in his talk, and the binding energy per unit mass. Actually, twice that is being used in the scheme. So these are the elements that are being used. But before you can run, you need to learn to walk. So just very, very quickly, very fast, I'll run through the points of the time symmetric Hermite method, or a standard Hermite method for that matter. At time t, one particle needs to be advanced, and you predict all the other particles to some lower order, and the particle you're integrating to high order, you obtain the perturbations, and since the sun will be there, and we work with heliocentric coordinates, we include the indirect terms. That's important for some purposes. Then there's dominant solar contribution is included in the fourth and the first derivative, and a corrector is applied, and then we do another iteration using the corrected variables on the sun, just on the two-body term, which is just a little bit of extra work if you have many planetesimals. In this scheme, we like to use so-called quantized time step, factors of two, so we specify the next time step to be commensurate with that rule, and any other particles which are due to be treated at that block step are integrated. In some situations, if you can have constant time steps for weakly perturbed planetesimal, the iteration, and you may consider having several solar iterations to improve the accuracy. Dominant body, you include the two-body turn from the sun is included after the perturbations, and then you have a corrected coordinate velocity, and then you do it again, using the corrected value. And you can go around several times, you know, and that's fairly cheap if the number of interacting planetesimals is sort of significant. But it may not work for all situations. It may, the strategy of how many iterations of all is a delicate one and needs looking into, and IGERA is indeed investigating this right now. So the Bode-Hegge method, one page, it's the only page with maths, so that's all. Introduce the relative motion in the usual way, two-body motion, and F is the external relative perturbation on a given pair of interacting planetesimals. Time transformation is just T prime equal to R, the distance, scalar distance. And by applying the rule of time transformation, ddt, physical time, becomes 1 on R, ddtau, the new time, prime time. And it's easy to convert into a new equation of motion, R2 prime. Now, this up to here, we've done what's called time smoothing. And we see that the degree of the of this formal singularity, if R goes to 0, is reduced considerably, but there still is an R of R singular type singularity. So it's, the equation is singular, but it's better behaved than the original one. But now we can do better. We go on from there, and this is where the elements come in. Twice the binding energy per unit mass is just written in physical variables here, which again can we use the rule of differentiation and get the R prime. And then B, the vector B, in physical coordinates, is minus the Runge-Lenz Laplace vector over the mass. Now, so all that remains is to construct equations of motion for the relative motion. And R2 prime, using the elements, can be written in this form. And then we have first order equation for the energy is the usual form, relative velocity, dot product with the perturbation, and the vector B prime. Look at these terms. Now, first of all, the B prime is linear in the perturbation, so in the absence of perturbation, B is a constant element, which is very convenient to have. P prime likewise, also a scalar product of the velocity and the perturbation. Now, look again at the second order equation for the relative motion. If R goes to 0, perturbation go down very fast. With R squared, it's very convenient. Now, B is a constant. This goes to 0. This is a displaced harmonic oscillator. And the frequency, with a certain frequency relating to the binding energy per unit mass. In actually two-body regularizations, the standard regularization, we have again a second-order equation of the type. We have actually a half H times the new variable, and then we have nothing here. Then we have a perturbing term. So the difference between ordinary two-body regularization and this scheme here is a factor of 2 in the frequency, because omega squared is there's a factor. Here's a 2, and then we have a half in the other scheme. So this, you need a factor of 2 more integration steps. But then it is this term here is a displaced harmonic oscillator rather than the standard harmonic oscillator, which is which of course is the simplest equation to integrate the harmonic oscillator. But this one, well, it doesn't make it much worse, but it is the second term. So everything is linear in the perturbations, except for the R motion is integrated as we go along. And for the time, we need to know the physical time in order to make a relation with the rest of the particles. Since t prime is r, we can just keep differentiating t2 prime is r prime, which we have in the scheme, and t3 prime is r. And there's a nice equation for r2 prime, which I haven't written down, but it's of a very nice explicit form. And then we can keep differentiating that one in terms of other variables which are available in the code. So you don't have to make any new things for the time. You just decide how many terms in the Taylor expansion converting physical time, regularized time to physical time, and of course inverting also. You need to invert whenever you have other particles nearby and needing to have the interaction from the two close encounter particles. So formally, very, very simple equations of motion. But as usual, many subtleties turn up when you're trying to implement and squeeze the last accuracy out of it. So I was actually surprised how much trouble I had. But in the end, everything came out. And so just a few words about close encounters.
Everybody having the same time and everybody having a different R. When you do this change of variables, what happens to all the different R's?
You use the physical distances used here all the time. The two-body separation, this capital R is a two-body separation. So you just have two times to relate, like two clocks, and have to relate them.
Okay, so in other words, you are saying that now every particle
Yes, they're all going to be tracked simultaneously. You just have to go from one to the other by the Taylor series expansion during the close encounter.
Okay.
Most of the time, there won't be a close encounter, but if it's one, then you have to pay attention and do the right things. But as high accuracy as you can manage.
Okay.
That's the philosophy.
Having all these different T's flying around the town does sound a little bit scary.
Well, every particle has a time step, and they're commensurate, factor 2, and quite a few have the same time step, and then others have twice as much or half as much, and then you just keep going.
Oh, that's
going.
Okay.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
And
much
one.
Of course, if you don't do it that way.
Well, one reason for the commensurate time step is that, in relation to especially to the supercomputer GRAPE, is that you have much less prediction to make then, and so that is one. But it isn't the only reason, but it is one reason.
What's the advantage of doing the regularization this way compared to the usual way?
It is going to be made simple, so people don't worry about all these Kirsten-Hammer-Stiefel transformations, and which tend to scare people. But they are very simple, actually. They are very simple. The people say, oh, this looks complicated, and they don't. There's nothing
much.
Well, the idea was to make a simple code and a simpler,
right,
an effective one. And as I say, there's a factor 2 in the time step. But the encounters are of short duration, the flybys, so you don't take many regularized steps in the flyby.
Especially if you want to marry different.
So just briefly, strategy for dealing with close encounters. If there's close encounter, unless there's a bug in the code, that means there's another particle nearby, or you're near the sun. You don't regularize the effect of the sun, but I'll come back to that. So when the time step for one particle is below some threshold value, which you have tuned to a distance from the integration scheme, then you just define the other as the companion for the encounter. If the separation is less than a close encounter distance, which corresponds to the close encounter time step ideally, and if the particle is approaching, then you have a close encounter starting up, and you form the elements, relative coordinates, Runge-Lenz vector, and the binding energy. And now you have to introduce the center of mass as a fictitious particle, as it were, call it a fictitious particle, rather, and as an integration particle at n plus 1. And you initialize the starting polynomial. By the way, the acceleration on the central mass has to be done correctly because it's integrated as a single particle, but the acceleration has to be done over vectorially over both components. As if you're integrating the Earth and the Moon correctly, you have to, with respect to another external planet, you have to do that properly if accuracy demands it. So we advanced first the regularized solution in a small interval, just up to the end of a small interval, and then we predict the perturbers as necessary during that interval. So that it's done consistently up to an interval, then to the same interval, end of this small block step, we integrate any other particles. Well, I commented central mass needs to be calculated correctly, and so just the some strategies that you need to, if you have a flyby, which is the main idea of this code, to treat flybys, then if you're going out to initial distance again, then you transform back to integrating two particles. And you certainly may be interested in collisions. And again, you make an inelastic collision or free fragmentation, if you like, whatever rules you want to apply. And if some of the planetesimals either escape, you may remove them from the calculation, or if the planetesimal eccentricity, not two-body eccentricity, but the planetesimal eccentricity, which is not have a close encounter, if that exceeds some value, 0.99 something, that means it will come very, very close to the Sun, and you could say you throw it into the Sun. You have to have a strategy for that. You decide what you want to do for that. That one. So that is the essence, the scheme, and as for conclusions, there are no results. Conclusion is that I have a practical and simple scheme done in the last 2 weeks from scratch, and I would say it's reasonably high accuracy, relative errors, -10^-8, per 10 years or something, for a few planetesimals of significant mass, Jupiter and above mass. But it is a brute force method, it's an n squared method.
Excuse me, at the end, could you give all this transparency to this gentleman?
Yes.
Excuse me, he's going to give you the transparency so you can put it on the web at the end.
Okay. Yeah.
But you catch him today because he's gone tomorrow.
I escape tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, even in the front office, they'll
do
it right away for you.
Okay, thank you.
So typically I would say you don't want to go above, 100 or a few hundred, depends on how much computer time you're willing to spend on a certain problem. And the close encounter strategy is one should pay attention that the solar perturbation must be included on during the flyby. And using, say, a rush radius for that is far too big. You only regularize fairly small, but I don't know. One has to try these things. But my feeling is that you for Jupiter-sized objects, you don't go regularize at a rush radius. You go smaller one, like 10^-3 AU at 1 AU, or a few. 10^-3 at 1 AU. But I mean, one has to investigate.
So it's getting comparable to the core size?
No. The size of a planetesimal would be much less than that. Factor 100 down or something. I'm not quite sure, but it depends on the model you have in mind.
The rush, you know, if you take this at a few AU,
yes.
Right,
you can get 0.1, you get 0.1 AU or something. You can get for Earth size.
So density is sort of, let's say, if you take density to be 1,
yes.
At 1 AU, then that the physical size, the rush size,
yes.
The ratio is about 1% or
yeah.
Of 1%. right?
Yes.
And if you go to 5 AU, it's 10 to the minus 3. So for planetesimal dynamics, here is this is important.
Right. It all depends on the masses you have in mind and so forth. But
I think it's independent of the mass.
But it doesn't make sense to do too wide and close encounters, in my feeling.
Across the hill sphere, if you have plenty of steps across the hill sphere, you don't have to worry about the close encounters.
Really, the Hermit integrator is so good that you don't really have to worry until you come a bit closer. I think that is the gist of it, my understanding at the present time. But I've only looked at this a few days, and I haven't done anything rigorous more than just seeing it works at different numbers. So the bottom line is that the scheme is makes use of a uniform integration method, just one integration scheme. So that makes it kind of makes it simpler, and you don't have to teach two methods, you know. And the results, well, I haven't had a time and chance to investigate, but the code is ready, as far as I'm concerned. And okay, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Can I buy it now? Okay.
I was just wondering if there's, are there any fundamental difficulties with putting in sort of collisions and then like a changing number of particles into a regularization code?
No, we're dealing with a much more complicated situation, like a binary collision, I mean a close encounter, and so-called chain regularization.
What he had in mind is actually physical collision.
Well, what I mean collision in the planetesimal sense is when two radii overlapping, and then we define it to be a collision, and you decide whether you want inelastic collision, whether you want fragmentation. And you can do anything you like, just you have to define what you like first.
Yeah. It doesn't mess up the time normalizations or anything.
No, absolutely, no.